Welcome, Gabriella, to Standout Radio. It is lovely to have you here today, and it is, I've just found out, it's 7 p.m. in the evening in the United Kingdom, which is where you are located. However, you were born in Italy, is that right?
Yes, Australian.
I can hear that beautiful accent coming through. Gabriella helps educate women about their feminine cycle, and it's not a subject that we are good at talking about. So, Gabriella, can you just kick us off? How did you end up educating women around their feminine cycle? Where did this all begin?
It's a bit like, as they say, how long is a piece of string? Let's kind of confine and find the start in itself, or just this little bit of my life. I went through a very stressful period in my life between 2005 and 2007. And what happened was, it was lots of things going on, like a divorce, change of career, a change of social background, everything put together. So after this time, or towards the end of this time, and from 2007 onwards, my body just started being on strike. So I started having an erratic period, and I knew inside of me that was a call for my body just to pay attention, and so to look into the matter. I been into alternative medicine, personal development, and all different type of therapies since my 20s. So I knew that to be satisfied and really find something of meaning, I should have gone looking into alternative medicine, at least, definitely not allopathic medicine, meaning a gynecology wouldn't possibly have shed much light for me about that. So I kind of, not knowing what to do and not wanting to go and see a gynecologist, I expressed this desire and let it go, you know, as one does. And so I find my answers a few years later, in 2009, when it happened seemingly by sheer serendipity, but it wasn't. I received this email in my inbox, as one does normally, actually many, with you every day. But anyway, this was interesting, attracted my attention, because the title was Wisdom on Menstruation, and it was a teleconference happening on the 8th of March, which is International Women's Day. So I thought the coincidence was kind of serendipitous and nice, so I thought, I have to listen in. And so I virtually met this woman called Alessandra Pope. She's a psychotherapist and does work around the menstrual cycle. And so I thought, I listen in, and I got hooked. So I went to her workshop, and since then, that day, the workshop was in London, which is a kind of pretty multiracial, multi-ethnic city. And so there were many women from different backgrounds, different coming from different continents, obviously even in London. But the fascinating thing was to be in the same room with so many different women with all similar problems, obviously around the female cycle. And so I realized at the end of the workshop, I realized how much I kind of missed out of my life, because I didn't know anything like that before. And I realized that if I'd known that knowledge, which is simple but so fundamental to a woman, I would definitely have unfolded differently, you know, let's say since my teens onwards. Yeah. So back then I was a woman in her early 40s. And so I was sitting in my seat and I was feeling this grief, because I felt deprived of my birthright of knowing about my body. But my mother or her mother or anybody else didn't really tell me anything about this. So since then I realized, well, actually that day I realized what is my life calling. And basically it was how it all started. It was 14 March 2009, I still remember the day. And I realized that my life calling is actually to empower women, because I always had that interest at heart. I was born feeling that any woman is a sister. Now it might sound very in, because everybody talks about this, the goddess, the female energy, the divine energy, female, feminine engine, all these type of things, and sisterhood here, sisterhood there. But I was born in the 60s, so a long time ago. And I was born with this built in my soul. So obviously I found it difficult going through life and putting up, obviously, especially when one starts working, for instance, you know, or a school, with this female competition and the bitching and all these type of things. I never really understood that. So going back to the cycle, going to the workshop really opened me up to a deeper understanding of femininity, womanhood, and the rest. And because I've been in personal development for a long time, I realized that I'd done so much, spent a fortune on all sorts of courses, which, by the way, good, but all mainly held by men. And so I realized the missing bit, this is the missing bit. And that's what made it for me. I realized that among many, many other things, if women know about this, they can really have a different type of life, definitely more empowered, and they can awaken themselves really to their own authority without always looking outside for, you know, confirmation, validation, approval, and all these things. Besides, there is also a very simple physical implication that is very simple and quite advantageous, knowing what is happening in your body, because menstruation really runs the level of our energy in our body. And so there's no point really in going against the flow. So for instance, during premenstrual time, also I call it your inner, you know, fall or autumn, a woman starts slowing down. So there's no point in even trying to push through, you know. Okay, life, we know, throws at us all sorts of curveballs, right? So at times one has to, but not on a daily basis, on a regular basis. That's, you know, for instance. So even just something so simple, if a woman growing up knows that, you know, she stops worrying about stuff, oh, what the rest of the world will think of me because I'm not high performing today, or, you know. So I think it's our right, you know, about ourselves physically, and also to know that if we get to know our body and menstruation with it, you know, we have an inbuilt system that help us to discover ourselves. But nobody told me anything like that when I was growing up. I can't really say it was taboo in my family, but definitely I realized later on that for society possibly, definitely was taboo and still is. And then when I started traveling, I realized it wasn't just in Italy.
Gabriella, why do you think that it's still such a taboo subject when, as you describe it, it's nature's gift to women. Why do you think that we are so afraid to talk out loud about our menstruation cycle, our periods, and all of these words that are associated with it?
Well, if, I don't know in New Zealand, but in UK they definitely call it the curse. I mean, it's actually a derogatory word for it. Well, my thought about that, of course I gave lots of thought about that question, because I'm asked that question many times, but I started asking myself why. But a very simple answer is, anything that is taboo generally holds some power. The two examples come up for me as similar things, like sex is taboo or was taboo, and there is some power in sex, okay? Money was taboo, maybe it's not anymore, but it's one of those subjects when they are tender subjects, okay? People that tend to be kind of quirk, weird about it, right? Not everybody talks about it openly or frankly, honestly, okay? And so I'm sure there are others, but just to answer your question, so menstruation, I don't think it has nothing different from those other two. There's a lot of power in it. Well, and also, even just thinking about it, if it weren't for menstruation happening, nobody would be alive. So obviously, it's our link to the cosmic universal force that creates life. I can't think of anything more powerful than that, to be honest.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I think anything like that that holds lots of emotion as well.
Yeah, but let me tell you something on top of that. The thing is also, to be considered very important, is we have been ruled by men, I mean, as a society, as a world, for a few thousands of years. So it's just a fact. Nobody can deny that, okay? Mm. So patriarchy is the symbol of everything which is male, masculine, macho, forceful, etc. So anything that is feminine, maybe is kind, vulnerable, nurturing, it becomes second. Of course, women are important because without us, men cannot reproduce themselves. But, I mean, women are this strange object that men still haven't got their head around it. Right? So
you're right.
You can imagine that menstruation can be classified among those strange things. And so, because of that, you know, become second. So the other thing that is definitely part of it, maybe not obvious, is the fact that as I would like to explain it a bit more in detail in a minute, also, is that because menstruation makes women unpredictable, well, of course, to men because they don't know about it, or to women themselves because they are not educated about it. But anyway, because makes women unpredictable, is something uncomfortable, difficult to control. So that could be another reason why, you know, menstruation is taboo.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually, because that must be, to men, it must seem kind of freaky that they're living, you know, sometimes, especially if you're looking at a partnership, for example, and they're living with a woman, and during the month, she's having these different emotions, different changes in energy, and they're thinking, what's going on?
Yes, but as you can understand, you know, it's just because we don't know even ourselves what's all about. If you automatically, a woman educates the partner, the spouse, the boyfriend, the friend, or whatever about it, and becomes just something normal, like you sleep and you eat and you drink because you need to. So it becomes part of the parcel. I mean, part of, well, it is, you know, it's part of us as women. We cycle. The other important thing to also, I think, needs to be mentioned is the fact that talking about patriarchy and the rule of men, you know, it's everything has or is conceived in a linear way, but nothing in nature really is linear. Maybe in a man's mind, but in nature everything cycles and it tends to be circular. Uh-huh. And the women definitely do cycle, even more because of menstruation, but I'm sure men cycle as well. It's just more, I don't know which type of cycle they might have. I actually asked my partner to track his cycle. Well, I produce a chart for women to, you know, to track their cycle, meaning follow it and see what happens for them, right? Because I can explain what it means going through the four seasons of the month, but then if a woman doesn't really experience it for herself, it's just academic. So I pondered about this for a long time, and I thought the last week I said to him, well, why don't you track it for yourself? Obviously, you can follow the moon cycle and see what happens, you know, what comes up. So it just started. I don't know if it's meticulous to do it every day, but I'm curious to see what comes out. I'm saying this just to say that I'm sure that men, because they're human beings like all of us, they cycle too. It's just that they don't know. You know, they don't have a pattern like women have.
Yeah, so we're very lucky, aren't we, to have a menstrual cycle. That
I think so.
I think we are too, because it does connect us with nature.
Yeah, but yes. Well, many reasons. I don't know if you want to maybe dive a bit into this, but it might not be shared by all women, especially those that might be in pain, and at some point in their cycle, you know. And I think. I would just like to say to those women, like everything that brings us into pain, it's a cry, you know, for our attention. So it's actually our body telling us, you have to pay attention here. And once, first of all, okay, it's the situation might be complicated, and I don't want to minimize it or make it so simple, but everything in life, actually in nature, is simple. So if a woman understands that it's okay to have different moments during the month, different energies, etc., and she doesn't fight it, so she accepts it, she embraces it, and has a bit of devotion towards it, because bottom line, it's herself. I bet that that terrible, excruciating pain might maybe go away, maybe not immediately. There are many more things that one can do, but you see, we in our society, let's call society, our society meaning Western society, so-called advanced, you know, we can't put up with any pain. We can't put up with many things like death, for instance. Everything that is natural, that is not totally understood, is uncomfortable. So I personally think that psychosom is showing up in our society, especially in so many women, as something that is painful and uncomfortable, because we are not revering it as we used to, or as it should be, because as we were saying earlier, it's the source of life.
Yeah, and I think I read somewhere that you said that this can affect our self-confidence, our lack of direction, our intimate relationships, causing loss of identity when we are so detached from really what nature gave us as a gift.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, if I just go through the season quickly, maybe then...
Love you too, I'm fascinated.
Yeah, maybe I can then explain why all these things you mentioned.
Yeah,
If I then forget some of them, please pick me up on that. So let's just go on this adventure of what is happening during the month. There are physiologically four phases, which are menstruation, pre-ovulatory, and premenstrual phase, okay? Which are the four phases when during which in our reproductive system an egg becomes fertile, can be impregnated, and then evolve as an embryo and then a human being, or is discarded and comes out as menstruation, which is loss of blood. Now, we can compare these four phases that have this very technical names with the four seasons of the year, because we are all acquainted with the season. We all been experiencing them since we are born, if we live in certain latitudes. But even if we live at the tropics, I'm sure these days everybody has traveled a bit and experienced maybe winter somewhere else, okay? So that's why I'm choosing this analogy. So let's go through them. Now, the pre-ovulatory phase, which is the week when a woman stops bleeding, so it's the first week after she's finished menstruation, is the pre-ovulatory, and it's comparable to spring. So we know how the energy of spring is. It's a very powerful energy, very outward, because we wake up from the hibernation of winter. Uh-huh. And so we become very active, we need less sleep, we venture in new things, new courses, all sorts of things. And we are kind of very powerfully positive, and we have a kind of a direction, or we know what we want, or we are so naive just to go for it anyway. that's type of energy is exactly the energy a woman goes through in the pre-ovulatory phase. Then in the following week, which is the ovulatory phase, or comparable obviously to summer, it's like summer, so a very social time, very warm, very active, of course, super positive. We network like mad, and we multitask perfectly, and we say yes to everybody. You know, during summer, one is very, generally jovial and goes on holiday. People tend to get married. You know, it's a very social time. So that's the energy that a woman goes through when she ovulates, that week when she ovulates. And you can understand why it's that type of energy, because if one has to maybe possibly procreate, give birth to a new baby, well, we need to do something about it, right? So if we were all on our own and feeling moody, etc., we wouldn't stand a chance maybe to to have any kind of intercourse at all. So then the following week is the premenstrual, so is the week when a woman experiences the energy of autumn. And autumn is a wonderful season, full of colors, but it's the season when we start feeling the chill in the air, so we become less active, we start pondering more, we start reducing the gear, right? we go down from four, maybe three or two, and so we start reconsidering what we have been doing before in the previous 2 weeks. So we tend to be more critical because we see more, first. Second, we have less energy. And also what also happens is normally in autumn, or it used to be, in the old times, you know, autumn it was important season because it was the one before winter. So it's the season uh-huh. where you have to collect as much as you can from nature. So you really to stuff your larder, you know. And so it's a very important time, you know. So you don't have time to waste, you know, with idle thing or etc. So you become very pragmatic, you work hard, and at the same time you reserve your energies because they start decreasing. And then in the last season, which is menstruation, which is the inner winter, a woman really goes into the energy that we experience in winter. We hibernate in a way. That doesn't mean that we sleep all the time, but it's the apex of an inward energy. So we pay attention to what is important to us. We sleep more because we need to, our body needs it more, but also because in this week, with the bleeding, something important, very important happens to a woman. Her psyche becomes more permeable. So the conscious and the unconscious becomes better friends than normal. So we become more psychic. We have our dreaming patterns changes. We can have very revelatory dreams or symbolic dreams. And in this time, if we need, for instance, to look into something important in our life because we have to make an important decision, it's the right time to stop things and slow down and really look in innerly and see what the answers are for us. To give you an example of how revered was this time in Native American Indians culture, you know, women would have moon lodges, so a place like we might call it red tent these days, which is an old term as well. But anyway, they would go and retire in the moon lodges where women would be with women and would just rest and, you know, just have a break, basically. But because they knew that a woman becomes very in contact with the spiritual world during this time, you know, chief would maybe put little questions, important things, decision they would maybe to make for their tribes, etc. They would push it under into the tent to see if they would come up, maybe when they would come out of the moon lodge, with some good answers. And that shows, for instance, how different was their approach and how they considered menstruation rather than in our society. So we should really take a stock, pay heed to that, and realize that why are we suppressing all that? Why are we not making the most out of it as women? It's a time when, you know, it's personal. A woman has to find out for herself, but maybe my fancy be more creative, you know, take that time, take the rest, maybe to paint, for instance. You know, it's just an example that comes to mind, but it's really take into consideration how nature works. We can't have summer all the time because we need all the four seasons. You might say, well, at the equator there are no seasons. Yeah, there's still two seasons maybe, the dry season and the wet season. And we can actually go down to two seasons about the cycle, because mainly if we look a bit deeper, the spring and the summer are outward energy type of season, okay? So more male, more masculine. And the other two, the autumn and the winter, are more inwards energy type of season phases. So they're more feminine. And we can sum it all up actually with the Tao or Dao symbol, which is the round symbol with the half white and half black circle with the two dots. That would be a perfect if you want to choose a symbol, a perfect symbol for or logo for the cycle. So we go, you know, nature designed us to be expansive and for a certain time, and then for exactly the same amount of time to be just the opposite, more inward, so less energy, and there's a perfect balance.
Yeah, it is a perfect balance, and I love how you've taken us on an adventure and described the seasons to us, because that makes it really simple, doesn't it?
And imagine for men, I think it's a simple enough thing for them to understand.
Yeah. I also loved what you said about us actually educating men about, you know, our cycles, because I think we've left a lot up to them to try and figure out. Because A, maybe we don't know ourselves, or B, we just don't know how to actually express that with them. I love the seasons. I think that's a great way.
But also because you mentioned, you know, earlier, one of the things that I remember you mentioned is how the cycle affects our intimate relationship. Exactly that. Now, of course, affects our sexuality. That's savasandhya, is obvious, and as a consequence, of course, our intimate relationship. So, but do we want to really think that it's all been the result of a chance or malicious God out there designing us this way to create difficulties for men? I don't think so. I think as the cycle, if the woman is aware of it, so becomes menstrual aware, it's a way for her to develop herself. Why? Because in the four seasons, there are four parts of her that come to life. So, if we go with this energy, actually we are discovering every month a bit more of ourselves. So we are quite lucky, actually, with the price of one, we get four of us. And so do men, you know, they think that they marry one person, one woman, and they don't know, actually, lucky one, but four with the price of one.
I love it.
Yes, it might be the unconscious reason why Muhammad, you know, allowed, you know, Muslim men to have up to four women, but I'm not really... sure about the, but I seem to remember it was four. So it would be funny, because actually we are like four different human beings. Of course, it's always ourselves, but it's the best explanation to explain to a woman and a man why we change, why we are so different. And I think it makes life a bit more enticing, rather than, I would be boring otherwise, you know.
Yeah, if it was the same season, like you said, if it was summer all the time, well.
And actually, yes, and I've been in the past, one of my many previous lives, when I was actually working in the Maldives, which is in the tropics, so it's two seasons, but basically you can barely see the difference. And yes, or definitely a paradise if you want to go on holiday, but not to work. But anyway, the thing is, I experienced firsthand how it is being in so-called paradise, you know, all the time. You reach a point when I was craving for the season. Because of variety.
Yeah.
So I think it's something to appreciate rather than really dismiss. And so you were also saying we are lucky. Yes, because I think so too. Because having those four periods of time where we experience such different energies, you know, it can become very handy, for instance, work-wise, you know, to schedule certain things in certain seasons rather than others.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
It can become very practical and strategic. I give you an example, because I can talk forever, but let me just leave a listener with something specific. Hopefully it will be useful to everybody. For instance, we said winter, we become more psychic, so we need to sleep more and all the rest, introverted, etc. Yes, that doesn't mean, though, that you need to sleep all day long or stuff like that. You are still a human being, perfectly fine to work if you so decide, etc., etc. But let's suppose you are in an office, you have a job, or maybe you have your own business and you need to make a very important decision, okay? So if you know that this meeting you're going to hold, it's very strategic, it's very important, and you really know to know the truth from a business partner or a colleague or some, you know, to be able then to take the right decision. If you schedule it during your winter, okay, maybe you have to remind yourself to be gentle to yourself and not taking everything personal, because otherwise it will kill you and all the rest of it. But it would be the perfect time for you to really see people through. How handy is that? Or for instance, if you have to do you are in a job, you need to do, cold calling or find new partners or whatever, or if it's your own business, I don't know. I mean, schedule that during your spring. Why? Because you don't give a damn about what people think of you. All you care is just to have a nice chat and just get new clients. And you're full of energy.
Oh, it makes so much sense. Oh my goodness.
But yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah. Gabriella, I think that we could definitely talk all day about this subject and about us and how the seasons can affect different things in our lives. I really love your explanation of that. But I do have a question for you, and sure. That is something that we ask all our guests on the show, and that is, what does it mean to you to live life on your own terms?
Many things. And it's a wonderful question that I ask myself all my life, really. And I answer it very honestly. Having accumulated now the best part of a half a century already below my belt, I can see that life lived not on your own terms. I don't want to say, but it is life wasted. I understand we all have, me included, sometimes to compromise with stuff, and it's just life, you know. But it's so important, definitely for a woman, and I can only talk as a woman because this time around it seems that I'm a woman. It's so important because a woman, and I think it's valid also for men, but especially a woman who is cycling most of her life and then goes through this strange period of menopause that I'm through at the moment. I'm still cycling, but I can really see how important it is to grow into your own authority, into your own person and your own identity. So as a consequence of that, you must have life on your terms, whatever that might mean to you. Because we all have different values, so, you know, it's just a fact. What is important to me is not important to you, so and so forth. So we all, these terms are all different for everybody. So, you know, that's why we are just as well, because otherwise we would quarrel all the time. But I think it's so... That's the main reason why I think it's so important. And, I can't say honestly that I live life on my own terms all the time. But I can see, if now I look back, that was my intention since an early age. And I, all through life, I always walked or done my best towards that aim, you know, towards that goal. I think it's important to mention, Santi, to have life in your own time doesn't mean that you win all the time. It doesn't mean that you have a yes as an answer all the time. Because I think life with a capital L knows best what is good for you. So not necessarily has to be, so to speak, an easy life. And then who has got an easy life? I still haven't met anybody who can say that, you know. So, I can see the treacherous ground of saying, oh yes, I have life on my own terms, and one might think, oh well, lucky that person, you know, because she wins all the time. No, we cannot win all the time anyway. And because we just spoken about the cycle, you know, cycle is not just menstruation, and it's the different season. So life is like that. So, and the beauty of it is going through the season, you know, because there are many cycles. We have the monthly cycles as women, yes, but then we have the monthly, the cycle of the season in a year, and then we have the different season of our life, you know. And there are God knows how many cycles out there that we don't even know of them, because they are so long or so big. So we can't escape it. It's just how everything works. Even just if we think of our breathing, you know, it has got it's a two-stroke engine, right? The breathing, because we breathe in and out, and so it's everything. So. For me, life in my own, on my own terms is discovering my breathing and then go with it, you know, discovering my cycles and then go with it. And so by doing that, I understand who I am. Have I answered?
Love it. You have answered it.
Oh, good.
Gabrielle. Gabriella, can you share three pieces of wisdom, just to summarize today, can you share three pieces of wisdom with our audience, especially around how they can really start to race the feminine cycle?
Sorry, I couldn't hear totally the last sentence.
Okay, I'll do it again. So, Gabriella, could you share with our audience three pieces of wisdom, particularly around how they can feel more empowered when it comes to the feminine cycle?
Yes. I have an idea. I don't know if you like it, but I am going to suggest it. Listen, Leanne, I have this vision, and I would like to share it. I think it's a little, I don't know if to call it poem, because it's something I channeled, meaning it came to me in different stage or whatever. But I think it would actually answer your question. So do you mind if I read it? Then you tell me if you
say. Of course, go for it.
Okay. And also because I'm very aware, you know, with visions, you have to learn to drop your ego and share it, because you can't do it alone. So I learned, you know, just to share it, and then people can think whatever. So here it goes. My vision is the woman of the 21st century, okay? So the woman of the 21st century is the woman of the next generation. She is beautifully strong. She acts according to her soul purpose. And because of that, she's irresistibly magnetic and engages in empowering relationships with men and women. She gives birth every day to her reality. She pays attention to her feelings, and her feelings guide her to create what she wants. She does it through relationships that help her to discover more about herself. Relationships are her tool in the playground of life. Her feelings are her strength. They complement her intellect. They are a precious source of inner guidance. She is clear about her vision and purpose. Therefore, she is a beautiful inspiration. How does she do all this? She's in contact with her womb. She's aware of her cycle. She acts following her energetic flow. She elegantly flows in the river of life, guided by herself, her center. This makes her a magnet, a beacon of inspiration rather than perspiration. Do you like the picture? Does it sound enticing? Does it make you feel good? I can smell the scent of this woman. Life for this woman tastes great. So this is my vision, and I hope
women
want to join me and do their best to become they beautiful themselves and the women of the 21st century. Because we have to do it. Nobody can do it for us.
No, you're absolutely right. And thank you so much, Gabriella, for your time and your energy and all your wisdom. Like I said, it's difficult to squeeze you into the time frame that we have for this show. But we can talk again a little more about the subject, because it's I think the more we talk, the better it is for everyone.
I think so. I would love to have another chat about it, but I understand we are constrained somehow by time and space. So, but thank you so much for having given me the opportunity to share what is so so dear to me. So I can't think of a more practical thing that women can use to really become themselves and be happier, feeling more flowing, you know, more exuberant and abundant, because they just stop imposing themselves stuff that is not designed to be there. So, you know, all our limiting beliefs, that all these taboos that we all born into somehow, wherever we are born, you know. So, it's time to free ourselves, no?
You're a star. I'll talk to you again soon, Gabriella.